Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show with Mike Wood, coming to you live from the city of Medicine, Durham, North Carolina, on this, the 13th day of June, 2016. Well, hey, a lot of things happening in the world of sports. We're going to talk about one small part of it tonight. We're going to talk with Coach Daryl Harris of Bull City Prep, located right here in the greatest city on the planet, Durham, North Carolina. And he's going to talk about the good things they do over there. Also, joining me once again tonight, Linda Van Smith. She is going to be the co-host for the night. And I just want to say a programming note for tomorrow night. Don't forget now, Dr. Ingrid Wicker-McCree, the athletic director at North Carolina Central University, will be on to talk about all the good things happening over at North Carolina Central. Today, blockbuster announcement. We're going to talk about it more tomorrow, but Nike has agreed to furnish the apparel and all equipment for NCCU over the next few years. And, boy, that is a step up in the right direction. Great things for recruiting. Great things for just the overall look of an HBCU, because they have been, you know, kind of walled into a contract with another company, and they were just trying to fit all HBCUs into one look. It wouldn't expand, but now Nike, hey, you can look like you want to look, have 10, 15, 20 uniforms, change things up, a great recruiting tool for the MEAC. And now, without further ado, on the Overtime Hotline, we have Coach Daryl Harris of Bull City Prep. How are you doing this evening, Coach Harris?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Wood. Hope you are.
Yeah, doing great. Waiting for this thunderstorm to come in. I hear it rumbling like crazy outside, but that's July in North Carolina. Well, Coach, yeah. Let's jump right into this thing. Let's talk about tell the listening audience out there about your background.
Durham, North Carolina. I'm a mother. My father was actually a high school basketball player, but I was raised by my mother, single parent, just my sister and I, and I'm a year older than her. And
you're breaking up a lot, Coach. Are you in an area? I mean, it's like you're breaking up. We're getting every other word.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right. Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Uh-huh.
Okay, absolutely. And your question was?
Oh, yeah, I was asking about your background. Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. So I grew up in Durham, single parent, and I idolized my father, involved in my life very much growing up, because he was an All-American, and everyone I would see throughout the city of Durham would always say, you know, recognize me as favoring him. Resemble, you know, you must be Harold McCorkle's son. And so I grew up with a great love for the game, wanting to be like my dad, of course. And I actually played a little ball in high school. I was a late bloomer, needed, you know, that male role model guidance, and after I completed Hillside in 88, I went off to college, and I actually tried out for the team, but I didn't make it. Then in between my freshman year in college, I actually received a scholarship offer to attend Montreat Anderson, which was a junior college at the time, which is a four-year school now, and pretty much from there, the rest is history. I played my last 2 years at Greensboro College, was MVP both years. We had really good years there and completed my school. And then I thought years later, I thought I would enter into the ministry because I became an ordained minister, and I attended a Body of Christ church in Raleigh and still attend there over 11 years now. And one day, a man came in the gym. We were doing a basketball camp, and he asked me, had I ever thought about coaching? And although I had a love for the game, that wasn't in my plan, but obviously it was in God's plan. And I started to do it just on a volunteer basis, and I fell in love with the young men, and the rest is history. Here we go, 9 years later, I've started my own prep basketball program, and about 80 or so kids in college over that time span.
Okay, that brings me to my next question. What exactly is a prep school, a program for prep athletics? I mean, what does that entail? How does a kid get into it? What's the qualifications? What exactly does it do?
Well, a prep school is pretty much I have two teams myself. So I'll explain what Bull City Prep does first, and then I'll explain some of the other prep situations that's throughout the country. So for Bull City Prep, we house a high school basketball team, 9th through 12th, which is called elite basketball or national. We play a national schedule, meaning we play a lot of private institutions like Mount Zion that's in Durham, North Carolina, that has had a storied program for several years, going back to the days of Tracy McGrady and guys like that, Max Owens that attended UNC and several other players that went through there and continuing to leave that institution and go on to four-year and junior college situations. So we model it the same way. The only thing that we have boarding students which attend school here once they move here, and we monitor them very closely. Even my wife and I and the rest of the team, we have tutoring programs set up through my wife. Part of her background is education. She's taught in the Durham City Schools, and so she does an excellent job with the young men doing SAT preparatory classes and courses. And if they take any classes that they're struggling in, they can come and we have those tutoring sessions, 2 to 3 times a week. And so then the post-grad, what we have is a post-grad team too, and that's once the young men have graduated, student athletes have graduated from high school, they have a year in between high school and college that they can take off, if you will, to better themselves to prepare for college. Some young men may be graduated early, they are 17, or some even, graduate 18 years old, but still their family feel like maybe just a little more time to prepare physically, mentally, spiritually, just socially. And so it's a great vehicle for that, and we've seen the success over the years.
So when they – let's say they graduate high school. I'll go with that one first. They graduate high school – and so that year's time they have between, like, even one of the Obama girls is taking that year's time off. I forgot what the exact name they call it. But so they come in and they play. So it's not like there's any academic requirements for them to play that year. It's just we come in, we play, we develop, we play that schedule, and we play as much as we can to hone our skills. Is that the way it works for the postgraduate prep program?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Well, Let me give you, our program is tailor-made, meaning we receive young men, I'm going to touch both ends of the spectrum. Young men who come in, they've graduated from high school, top in their class, or what have you, very good grades, SAT scores, great. They're qualified is what you call it through the NCAA Division I or II. They could easily go to a junior college, 2-year school. Easily, they could go to an NAI school, what have you. Even a Division III school, which are mainly academic schools or high standards. So those young men, they come into it usually because they haven't received enough exposure to receive a athletic scholarship. And so that's what they enroll in the program for, because they believe that by being in a program like Bull City Prep, one thing that I do personally other than coach and train, is that I'm somewhat like a manager, if you will, on the athletic side to help the young men become noticed. So I'll call the coach from the University of XYZ, talk with him, and explain to him, hey, I have Daryl Harris. He's 6'3", 190 pounds. He's athletic. He has a GPA of 3.5. He scored 1,100 on the SAT on two parts. And then I'll send film. I have him come into the gym to recruit the young man, you know, give telephone information, emails, what have you, just to start the relationship between them. And that's how they start to begin the recruitment process. Now, on right. the other end of the spectrum, I have young men who come in the program. They have not fared so well in school. Their GPAs are very low. They're in high school, or if they are a year out of school, some of those young men, I come in and we talk with the families. We let them know right from the start that this young man's route is just mathematically, he cannot recover from what he's done over the last 4 years in high school. So he needs to attend a junior college or a community college. But what most people don't understand is that you have levels of those schools as well on the athletic side and academic side. So take, for example, most of the program, they attend Division I or Division II junior colleges, which offer scholarships full. And so while they are gaining still continuing education, they are playing basketball at a high level. So after the 2 years of attending those type institutions, the four-year schools are still recruiting them from that those schools. And then they offer right. them a scholarship for the next 2 years of their eligibility.
Right. So basically, it's like having the best of both worlds, because you can bring a kid in. Now, I'm sure, you know, are these kids boarding kids, or are they just more or less like, you know, you're going to have to treat yourself like get an apartment yourself or live with someone, and then we come in, we practice, we play, stuff like that. That's the way they do it. But you can actually recruit quality kids. In other words, you can get in your program top-notch kids that just have a little more work to do. And that really is good. Now, of course, people will say, well, you want to bring in all kinds of kids. Well, I'm sure you do. I mean, you know, I look at your success over the years. As a matter of fact, I was on Twitter not too long ago, back when signings were going on, and I swear, I think you were the you know, the kids from Bull City Prep signed with more JCs and Division II schools, stuff like that, than I've seen in my life. I mean, there was tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet of kids that are going to school, whether it's here in North Carolina or anywhere else in the country. And the key to it is, it doesn't matter where you go, get in and do well. See, a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of kids now, tell me if I'm wrong, a lot of kids have this dream of, I want to play over at UNC, or I want to play at Duke, or I want to play at NC State, I want to play at North Carolina Central, but sometimes that's not your route. Just ask Scottie Pippen. It's not your route sometimes. And I can guarantee you this, Scottie Pippen made just as much money coming out of Pungo State as another player did coming out of Syracuse. You know what I'm saying? So it's not where you come from, it's where you end up. And if the school, and academically you have to look at it, if that school is meant for you, because you cannot go to a school, and I'm sure you explain this to a kid, just to play a sport. You have to go there because it's going to be academically suited for you, and they have the wraparound services to make sure that you're successful. You know, whether it's Bull City Prep, yeah, you make sure, even at Bull City Prep, you know they're, quote, not in school, but if they have to be in school, if they have to have extra help, you're going to give it to them. I know you're going to do it. You're going to make sure they get it.
Absolutely.
So it's like that. Now let's talk about
just to be clear on the academic part, Mr. Woods, that I do have high school students that's enrolled in the program, and they attend school on a daily basis just like any other high school student. It's just that the mm-hmm. fifth-year kids have already graduated high school, and they're on a separate right. team called a postgraduate team, and they play a
right.
postgraduate schedule. So those young men usually they can take one class per the NCAA, one class online that's accepted by the NCAA, to in order to become qualified if they were not. For example, you may needed a 2.5 GPA and you had a 2.4, so you were allowed to take that class that you may have you didn't score so well in over. Also, you can take the SAT as many times during that prep year to score a higher score on that, so you are able to become qualified as well. And so that's how that goes.
Now, let's talk about, and Linda Van Smith, who's a co-host, and she's been sitting there patiently waiting. I'll bring you into the conversation, Linda. Now, you know, you're talking about the kids 9 through 12. Now, that's close to Linda's heart because that's what she does for a living. She teaches, and she loves to do it, and that's what she does. Now, you're talking about a kid. Now do these kids, the 9 through 12, do they go to school at Bull City Academy or Bull City Prep, or do they go to Durham Public Schools and then just come over there for the athletic part of it? And then I'm sure Linda has some questions about the academic part, but let's talk about the athletic part first, and I'll step out and she can jump in about the academic. But do they go to school with Durham Public Schools and then come play, or do they go to school there and then play on the school team?
Yes, they attend the Durham Public Schools, be it charter in this situation, because it's easier to enroll them. Usually I place them on the list in order for them to get into the charter school in time, and usually I've had great success with that because I only have about 6 or 7 that need school in that way, because usually what has happened, and we've had great success with local kids who attend various public schools throughout the area, be it Raleigh, Durham, or Chapel Hill, that's involved in the program, because they are not receiving the exposure that they need, nor the training or the time. It's more personable with Bull City Prep, along with my coaching staff and I. We use a lot of time off the court as well as, you know, off the court as well as on the court, just showing them exactly what they need to work on in order to gain those scholarships, both academically and athletically, obviously.
Linda?
Yeah, Coach Harris, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fine, ma'am. I hope you are.
I sure am. Yeah, I do have a couple of questions. And, Mike, I was going to ask the same question as you were about. Now, do students come to you or do you go to the schools to recruit?
No, the students, I never really recruit. I don't, in other words, just on the basis of what I've done over the years, the first couple of years I recruited, and that was abroad. Like when I say away from Raleigh, Durham area, it was a postgraduate program from the start. Just young men who were looking for that extra year. And then what it turned into quickly, in the first year that I'd done it on my own, young men like Isaiah Hicks, who currently attends UNT, he came looking for a prep school, and at the time it was Word of God, Upper Room, Christian Faith, and we had just started a program at Body of Christ Church in Raleigh. And he came, his family, they came, and we sat down and talked, and he felt comfortable. We were a first-year program, and therefore he attended Body of Christ, and we had a school at the time. And then years later, a year or two later, we went away from having a school, so we had to find another route. And that's when I found out, did a little research, and found out that public charter schools, as long as the student is living in the state of North Carolina, that they can attend or enroll in any charter school throughout the state. And so I said, that way we have the academic component that's of good standard and NCAA approved, because you have to go through the NCAA anytime that you receive a scholarship. So that's how that we began that process, and that was with great success as well, because those schools are usually small in number, smaller classroom size, more focused on the academics, a better grip on what's the environment in the classroom. But however, we do have some students that attend, say, Hillside High or Southern, or you know, schools like that they attend their home school and they just play basketball for Bull City Prep.
Okay, so your wife is the only one at your academy that just teaches the SAT, ACT, is that correct?
Absolutely.
And then they get the other academics from their home school.
Exactly, yes. And okay. She's taught at Hillside, and even she's taught on the college, the collegiate level, at Durham Tech, and she has an extensive background in education and very passionate about it. So it's a good marriage in more than one way. I love
right
basketball part. I know how important it is for the academics, but that's her heart, and that's been really good. For example, over the last year, young men, for one example, and I will leave names out just to protect the privacy. But one young man came into the program, and he had an 860 on two parts of the SAT because that's the only thing that the NCAA reviews is the math and the reading, the verbal. And so he had an 860, and after 1 month of tutoring with this young man, he raised his score to 920 on two parts. And so that's like just to give you some of the examples of the success, because she teaches them anything from just how to take the test, understanding the test, and giving them many tests over that period of time, homework, and it's all based on SAT, ACT material. And so we found a niche for this type of thing, and obviously, not that it goes across any racial boundary, but definitely in the African American because of socioeconomic backgrounds and things like that. And so we've had great success in reaching those young men and them going on to be very successful.
Okay, yeah, I work in the Chapel Hill Carver City School System myself. Do you have a lot of recruits from Chapel Hill?
Yes, I've had a few. Over the years, not many, but about three young men who have come through my program that was from the Chapel Hill, whether they were high school or post-grad, in my program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, one thing, too, I was reading that you've coached and developed some of the top student athletes in the country over the years. Now, what makes your academy so special? Like, what strategies do you bring to the table? I know you've already talked about the academic piece, which is great, and I also concur with what you said about African-American students as a teacher. You know, repetition is the key, and I find that I'm sure your wife, is probably very repetitive in what she does, and that's how, students learn. So what is special about your academy?
Yes, ma'am. Well, on the athletic side of things, what we do is it's just like the classroom. We're teaching, and we're teaching in the gym, and what we're doing is it's repetition. It's repetition, and at the end of the day, we go over and over and over, and mainly where the student athlete is most weak at. And so that's what we do. In other words, a young man comes in, he can really shoot the ball. He's a prolific shooter, but he's weak in the area of dribbling the ball, ball handling skills. We go over that repetitiously, and we'll have time where we practice and we go over our plays, but we focus in on that for that young man. Another young man may come in, and he's a little underweight, not very muscular, but wants to gain weight. We give him a dietary plan. For the kids that live in the prep house, we provide the meals for them, instruction in such a way that it's just what we've incorporated is we want you to think like a professional because it changes their mindset, and that's something big that we're on. Even going forward, moving forward to to strengthen the mindset of the young men that attend Bull City Prep to understand that the sky is the limit, and once the mindset is right, then the body will follow. And if you were willing to put the work into what it takes to get on the floor. And so that's how I've been able and just fortunate and blessed to coach some of the top athletes in the country over the years, and relatively in a small market. I say a small market because I can't compare resource-wise with, like, say, an Oak Hill Academy or Mount Verd. These are some of the prep schools that are institutions, and they have great donors and support systems. But I'm happy and I feel blessed to where we've gained a sponsorship on the apparel side by Adidas and those type of things. And we've started great relationships like with Body of Christ, where we have a state-of-the-art facility where we play our home games. So now I can compete a little bit when it comes to even people calling me about the program, and I gain that attention. And so we're able to produce great athletes, and they go on to do great things.
Well, let me quick, because we got to wrap things up here. We've got about 3 minutes to go. But quickly, do you find resistance from a lot of high school coaches? In other words, basically, you know, I am a great basketball player. Let's say I go to XYZ High School. And, you know, it would really help my high school program if I played at that particular school. But I decide to go to a place like, you know, Bull City Prep, where I can play a national schedule. I can play, what, 30, 40, however many games you want to schedule on the road in front of you know, big-time eyes on me, maybe television here and there, radio here and there, so my name gets out, where that doesn't happen at a normal school, especially here in Durham. We don't have a lot of, like, radio stuff. Every now and then, you know, people like me will do games, but we don't have anything dedicated to really get that word out there. How do coaches react to you or kids wanting to come to your academy, or even the mention of wanting to go to whether it's your academy or somewhere else? What do you find in the basketball world?
Yes, well, very briefly and to the point, not very well. And that's understandable, but I've learned to have a low tolerance level. You know, I don't let it bother me, because when you look at, you know, here again, I won't call any names, but when you look at young men who were in the city of Durham, Raleigh, Chapel Hill, that may have spent their first 2 years or three or four, their whole entire high school career at XYZ High School, and they did not receive a scholarship offer at all, and then they go come to me in the program, and my staff and I work with the kid and the family and the coaches. I have a network of over 700 college coaches, ranging from Division I, high, mid, low level, Division I to Division II, high, mid, low on that level, to Division III, NAIA, Division I, II, and junior college, Division I, II, or III. So there's a great network out there, and because I've put the work in, I can pick up the phone, talk to XYZ coach, and say, hey, I have a young man that maybe he's not Division I, but he is Division II, or maybe he's not Division II, but he's a good junior college. He needs a little bit more time, even after a year or two with me. So now you take a young man that has said, hold up, I see what the prep school has produced, prep schools have produced. Let me give a try. And then that young man goes from, and this is I'm giving you an actual story here without calling names. Young man goes from not even thinking that he was going to college, and he was 6'9", to really play the school that he was at. They played him out of position because he was 6'9". They played him as a center. Well, when I worked him out, I said, well, you're not a center. You're not even a power forward. You're a small forward. You're a three. And he could shoot the three balls. He was very good with ball handling. He went from not going to school at all to now he's at one of the top high major universities in the country. And he'll be an incoming freshman this year. And we'll see him play on national TV. And so that's great. The difference. I had a young man that's in, and I will call this name because he's completed the program. Both of these young men, they were in my program. They completed it a post-grad year. And now they're both John Brown, that was at High Point University for 4 years. He's in the Summer League, NBA Summer League right now, as we speak, playing with the Charlotte Hornets, trying to make the team, and they picked him for a 12-man team. He would have not received that exposure had he stayed at the school where he was at in Florida. Kevin Punter was a New York City kid, came down, did a post-grad year. I'm sure Kevin wouldn't mind, and it's greatly publicized if you look up and Google his name, stories about how he was going to give up, and he came to Body of Christ, Bull City / Bull City Prep, and he did a post-grad year. He was unable to, even with all his hard work, he was unable to still score the score that he needed on the SAT. He went to junior college, graduated Dean's List. Not only did he do that, on the court he became a junior college All-American, and he went on to the University of Tennessee, where he was the second leading scorer in the SEC conference and the 12th leading scorer in the country this year. And he is playing with the Minnesota Timberwolves right now in the Summer League. So that's just some of the great stories of many that I have. Young men who came in the program that they was their last chance. And just through some love and the ministry of what we do, they're going to college, and they're in college. And they call and they check on me and check on my wife and the rest of the team here. And we just so proud of them. And if you want to go to our website and see some of these great stories, because I chronicle those stories on our website, you go to Bull City Pace, that's PACE, BullCityPace.com, and you can see all the young men who signed scholarships this year and years past, and you can see what they are doing now. And so we're proud of it. We stay humble, we stay prayerful, and we ask that, you know, support from the community, and we love Bull City. My wife and I are both born and raised city school, but the bottom line is that there's I say this one thing in closing with my statement about that. It's not in this coaches, nothing against the coaches. They are great young men and at their school and great coaches, but it's not in their job description to do what we do, and that is to really work hard for those families, that those young men are noticed on a national and international level at some times. And that's just the bottom line.
All right, Coach. Well, thank you so much for appearing on the Overtime Sports Show. We're going to have you on again. This is – you are one I want the world to know now, this young man here was one of the first guests on the Overtime Sports Show when I started with Blog Talk Radio. Before, I was at a local radio station, and the show got kind of big. The station went dark, and I started here on Blog Talk Radio. And this young man was, I think, the third – guest I ever had on the Overtime Sports Show, and from that point on, I knew that by just talking to him and seeing what's in his heart and seeing what's in his spirit and seeing what's in his soul, that he was going to just, like, make this thing blow up. He went from one school to another, and I followed him from that school to another school, and I said to myself, self, this young man is going to do something extremely special, and he's going to do it until the day he dies, because that is just in his spirit. You can see it. When you meet him, you will understand the power that this young man has for his young men. He doesn't care. I know he deals with a lot of African-American players and stuff, but see, he's the kind of coach and the kind of man, it doesn't matter. If you are a young person and you need help on the court, you need help off the court, or you just need help in general, this young man is going to do everything, and I mean everything in his power, to make sure that you're successful. And, Coach, I just want to say thank you for everything that you've done for these young men. I want to say thank you for just being you. Thank you so very much.
Well, Mr. Wood, I just want to thank you for that. You almost embarrassed me. But I understand, and I really appreciate that, as so many go unnoticed, but I tell you, I really do it from a special place, and I just ask God to continue to strengthen me and my family as we continue to try to impact the lives of these young men.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for being on the show, and we'll get you back on at a later date.
Yes, sir. Thank you, and ma'am, have a great evening. Mr. Wood, have a great evening.
All right, take care.
Yes.
That was Coach Darryl Harris, the head basketball coach there at Bull City Prep here in Durham, North Carolina. Well, Linda, tomorrow night, big day for the show. We have what I call the athletic director extraordinaire, Dr. Ingrid Wicker-McCree, will be on the Overtime Sports Show. This will be her first time coming on the Overtime Sports Show.
Oh,
and I'm excited because I'm telling you right
now,
she has done great things over in North Carolina Central, and North Carolina Central continues to grow and grow, and it's because of her leadership. And I tell you, I am just so excited to have her on the show. And then later on in the month, we're going to have several coaches from CIAA schools. They're going to be coming on, football coaches, and talking about the upcoming season in the CIAA, which, as we all know, the CIAA is always rough and tumble. No matter whether it's football, basketball, or baseball, they go after it tooth and nail because that is just the way it is. So thank you so much, everybody out there, for listening tonight. And we'll see you here tomorrow night, 6:30, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, write it down, set your computers, whatever you have to do, your iPhones. Dr. Ingrid Wicker-McCree, the athletic director extraordinaire at North Carolina Central University, she will be on air with us live, 6:30, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Until tomorrow night, goodbye, everybody.
See ya.
We never run down.